Hello, friends. That ends so abruptly. I'm never ready for it. Happy Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Again.
It's burn month.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Should I explain?
Go for it.
So here in Kansas, they decided that keeping us safe through the summers is a good idea. So they burn all the fields so they don't catch on fire later on when it gets really hot. Well, for people that suffer from allergies, it's like the worst month in the world. I love Kansas too. This month, vacation. We should be going to England now.
Yes.
Instead of like end of the month. So anyways, I'm bitter.
And last night was a double whammy because stuff got spilled in the bottom of the oven. And so we had no choice but to do the whole like cleaning cycle for the oven.
Oven cleansing.
Yes. And so the outdoors was filled with smoke and just, and so was the indoors. So we double whammied ourselves and we both woke up with, you know,
I was so excited. I was like, oh, my eyes don't itch. And I don't feel like sneezing. And then I turned over and it all hit me. Sad.
Yeah. So that's our sad story about
so sorry for us.
Allergies. You know, actually, maybe you could just command us to be healed because I don't actually think we need to suffer from allergies just because we live in Kansas.
That's right.
Be healed. I command myself to be healed. Yes. Hello, Robin.
Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. Yes.
Our friends.
If you're on here, you should let us know in the comments because we enjoy interacting. Oh, your eyes are yucky too. I'm so yes. Sorry.
Robin is my sister and her husband, Jeff, is my brother. And they were, well, brother-in-law, sorry. That would have been weird. they were over last night enjoying the smoke with us.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we had everything that went into the oven last night came out smoked. Because of what was happening with the oven. It was just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. But anyway, we lived. That's the important part here.
We lived.
We lived. Oh.
Did not know my life was on the line last night. Thank God I'm here.
Allergies are that horrible. It's just the way that it is. That's why you lost.
No, it's because the prophecy in me prophesied. Remember I said, I'm going to come back and win because I was in dead last and I smoked them all.
Oh my God.
No pun intended.
And Lisa is saying that she misses the burning in the fields in Kansas.
Well, that's because you're weird.
Well, my gosh.
It is really cool once they get all the fields burned.
It is. It's really beautiful. It is
really cool, especially when it grows back.
Everything goes black, and then it's just like
it all dies to itself and then comes back alive.
It's amazing. Preach it. We could use that as a springboard.
Oh my gosh.
The Kansas burning fields miss you too, Lisa.
Yes.
I think that was the appropriate thing to say there. Okay, what are we talking about? Come home. Yes. Lisa's traveling this week. She's going down to Florida.
It's Ireland.
Where she...
Minus the leprechauns.
Where she can sit in the sun and enjoy the ocean. Just a little bit jealous because there's no smoking field in Florida. Oh my gosh. So we bless your trip to Florida and I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see all that.
May your trip detour you through Kansas.
Oh my gosh. That it would be quite the detour, wouldn't it? Okay. So, Robin is saying something about
it's Ireland because the green field.
Green. Yes. Yeah. Speaking of Ireland.
Yes.
We're going to Ireland.
By way of England.
Yes.
By way of Kansas.
So we go to England toward the end of the month. And then in the middle of all of that, we get to go to Ireland.
I don't know what she's more excited for.
OK, Can you guess? I don't know what to tell you. I just, my heart has been so wrapped around Ireland for a year now. And both of us come from Ireland. Our families, our heritage begins in Ireland.
Oh, we have Scotland.
And he believes he's actually Scottish and that is real.
I'm like the American Braveheart right now.
No, listen. Oh. His people, I think it's 95% Irish, if I remember right. His
dad and my uncle. Yes,
his uncle took one of those DNA tests, and that's what it came back saying, that he was like 95% Irish. So listen. But we did some research on our heritage, and we found out, you know, where our people come from. And on my side of the family, both of my parents have, like, my dad's mom's side of the family and my mom's dad's side of the family are both from the same area in Ireland, Longford, Ireland, which is just bizarre to have, you know, two unrelated families from the same area.
Wouldn't me and Robin be the same since she's my sister?
For me, it's like 30%. Well, yes, because their mother is also from England.
And we forgive her for that.
Yes, she's not full-blooded.
She acts like she's full-blooded, but she's not.
I don't even know what that means. We should probably move on. Pray for us. Because this is the biggest trip we've ever taken. We have
we went to Canada last year. We thought we were crazy.
But we feel like that. I mean, that's all on the same continent. We don't cross any bodies of water to Canada.
It was almost, no offense to where we went in Canada, but it was almost worse than Kansas. I mean, we live in like the hill part of Kansas, like the Clinton Hills. It's beautiful. The western part of Kansas, it's completely flat. The trip to Canada was completely flat. I'm like, this is terrible. And it was how long,
cows,
how long we drove up there? Me and Robin did, and
13
it was
hours.
Yeah, of nothing.
And really,
and it snowed the whole time.
13 hours to Canada, and we've actually taken longer trips than that just within the U.S. Our trip to Florida was wild. That was like a 22-hour
with two pregnant women.
Both Robin and I were pregnant, and we had like,
this has nothing to do with what we're talking about,
and 9-month olds in the car. So let's just say it was a wild 22-hour trip to Florida to see their sister. And so that was a further trip than it was to go to Canada. Whatever. Anyway, we are moving on, people.
Now to something spiritual.
Oh, we can't steal that. That's taken.
Now to something godly.
What we intend to talk about is gifts versus anointing. And this is really important. Hi, Yvonne and Jeff. Yvonne and Jeff are on. Hello, good morning, welcome. So gifts and anointing. Do we understand the difference? We're going to pause for effect. Why is it important that we understand the difference? I think that's what we need to get to here is what is the difference between gifts alone and anointing? And I think that we found a few different scriptures that we can point to, but the treasure hunt can't stop here. We need to continue to press into this topic and be asking Holy Spirit, what do I need to know? What do you want me to know about gifts and anointing? And to be really honest with you, and I was giggling on the way down here because John's like, where is this coming from? I was like, because we're not prepared for this at all. This is something new for us, a new endeavor that we're doing together. And we've had lots of shifts within our organization. And one of those was John being all in and taking his place within our organization and some other things that took place. And so here he is, and we're doing this together now. And so it's just kind of been like, I feel like I don't really have great footing right now. Kind of feels like a lot is shaking, but that's okay. It's okay. I'm hanging in there. And it's good. It's good. It's all good. And but the honesty here, the honest raw moment is that what you're going to get here is mostly going to be our gifts in action. This episode will be mostly void of anointing. We want to be honest about it because I think that it's important that we know the difference. We know the difference when we are consuming, and we are a consuming people. And when we are in that mode, I don't think that we're stopping to even consider, is there anointing on this? Has this person spent time with Jesus considering these things? Well, the answer for us in this moment, no. Have we walked with Jesus in these topics before? Yes. Did we go and buy from him without money for this? Not really. Did we think about it? Yes, but it didn't really go beyond that. And I want to be this honest with you because we have got to be a people of integrity who stop pretending that we have it all together, that we know what we're doing, because mostly we don't. We are walking by faith just like the next person. We are trying to figure it out one step at a time. And I'm not saying that there's not going to be any anointing that leaks out, but it's just residual anointing, if you will. My point is,
it's like you're going to get the scraps of anointing.
It is. And I want to be that honest with you because it's like, we just need to know. We need to know. And what if we were all this honest? What if every person who has any kind of a platform would get up and say, you know what? I have something to say this morning, but here's the honest truth. There's not going to be any anointing on it. At least we know what we're consuming, right? And here's the difference. Here's the nutshell difference for me. Giftings can excite, but there's no power to transform. You add in anointing and suddenly there is transformational power that's added to it. Gifts, so if you've ever wondered why you can't really make it beyond the front door of your experience, your encounter with the Lord, it's because you haven't gone and purchased oil without money. You haven't gone and ate for free, right? You've been content with the giftings alone, and possibly so was the person who excited you in the first place. Now, I'm not saying that that's across the board. I am saying we have got to be a people who know how to judge fruit. Does the fruit, is it laced with anointing? What do you have to say?
Not much.
Oh.
No.
I needed a mic.
Oh, I was actually thinking, you know, a good example of, maybe it's a better example of anointings, gifts and anointings, because you can always, like Angie has an anointing on certain things and I do, and a lot of times they put them together and they're amazing. And sometimes you put us together and it's not quite so amazing, but we both coach, and I'll bring this up a lot because this is part of our lives. We both coached basketball in the last, was it 3 years that we coached together?
Just two.
2 years. I was the head coach of a girls' basketball team, and she was one of my assistants. We had another man who was fabulous. But we figured out that Angie had a really great gift and anointing for practices. And I did not. But I had a really good gift to manage a game and to coach the actual game. It's kind of like, you know, when you have an army, you have your guys, your generals, or your colonels and captains and majors and all of them that prepare the war. Then they present it to the general, and the general puts it into motion. That's how we were. And that can be a good thing, you know, when you find your good anointing, you know, your gifts, you know, instead of trying to grab somebody else's gifts and apply.
Yeah.
You know, you stay in your lane. Does that make sense?
Stay in your lane. Yep. I think that's, we've created such a hybrid of giftings because of what he's talking about. We're attempting to graft ourselves into other people's giftings. And you guys, it's not going to work like that. I'm not saying that we don't have within ourselves a hybrid mixture of things going on, because we do. I mean, Paul tells us to eagerly desire these things, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. And why is that? Because prophecy edifies the body of Christ. It builds up the body of Christ. It excites the body of Christ. The problem is that most of us aren't coming and buying. And what I mean by that, it's coming and sitting with holiness himself and having righteousness applied to us that comes out as anointing that can actually bring about transformation in individuals and cities and nations. I mean, we know it, the Bible tells us that God transformed an entire nation in one day. We have access to that level of power, and it comes by way of anointing.
Can you imagine believing that God can transform a nation in one day? We don't even have the faith that he could do it to a person in one day, let alone a nation. Because we believed in today's society that we need to go through classes 101 through 1099 or whatever.
That's a tax
to actually, oh, it is tax form. To actually, it is tax season. And to actually enter the kingdom when God can do it in the blink of an eye. Because he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Yes, because the hearts of kings are in his hand, and he moves them like he moves the course of a river. And that's what we need to know, and that's what we need to buy into, is that he has the power and the sovereignty to do whatever the heck he wants. It takes us partnering with him to bring his desires about. We exist to put the victory of the cross on display, the victory of Christ on display. It is finished. And our job is to put his victory on display. And let's read in
one more thing. And even if you don't feel like it, just ask Paul how that worked out for him. God knocked him off his horse and said, "You will be my servant. I will let you know how much you're going to suffer for me." Mm-hmm. He took his will away from him. We always like to think that we have will, this and that. God has will. God will have his way.
Some of us are strong-willed.
Oh, that's me.
Okay, I just want to point us to Romans 11:29, where it tells us that the gifts are given without repentance, or they are irrevocable. So when gifts are given, they're ours. And truly, and I've said this a lot over the last week, like, a powerful person is powerful no matter what, right? So if there is a destiny on our lives that God intends to use us in a way that makes an impact on a whole body, a whole city, a whole nation, we are powerful in any direction we are aimed in. And I've seen this over and over and over again, that there are powerful people that have been a part of my life, but their power is not aimed in the proper direction, because the gifts are given without repentance. They're irrevocable. They're not going to be taken away. And so that's where we really need to understand the difference between the gifts and anointing, because anointing is what ties us to holiness. Gifts can be used in any direction. It's scary. And we have here in our nation, we have massive churches falling apart because the gifts are given without repentance. They're irrevocable. And man has relied heavily on the gifts are fancy. Gifts are attractive, and we have been so easy to appease. We have been easy to excite without without putting any demand on longevity. And so we are in trouble because of this, because we've relied so heavily on, we've leaned in so deeply to the gifts that are on man's life. And we've been too easily thrilled by the showmanship of it all. Anybody can get up and put on a show. And unfortunately, as the body of Christ, especially in the Western world, we have been eating from a buffet line of gifting alone. And ultimately, there's no character to back it up, and there's no anointing that really solidifies what's transpiring on any at any given meeting that's taking place. And so that's something that we really need to be pressing into. God, show me in what ways I have partnered with gift alone. And it's a turnaround time for us. We need to be embracing the opportunity of repentance right now, where we can turn around quickly and be like, guilty. Guilty. Why are we so afraid of confessing our guilt in these matters? We're so afraid of being wrong. And that's one of the reasons why I want to be so honest with you. I want to be so honest with you and tell you, like, I have been guilty of these things, of being impressed by giftings, of being like wide-eyed and like, oh, look what they can do. But the gifts are given without repentance. Does that bother you? That a person can be utilizing the gifts of God, but maybe for their own promotion. If we are not out here in these streets promoting Jesus Christ, I don't know why we exist. I'm supposed to be getting scripture, but I haven't.
I know. I was just thinking. I've had a year. And I've had to.
You've had a decade.
Yeah. But over this last year, I mean, I've really learned how to, especially the last, 3 months, to ask for forgiveness, be forgiven, recognize wrongs really quick. And this is so funny. We were driving the other day and I think somebody cut me off or something. And I had.
They were just driving really fast down a small, a narrow.
Yeah. She could probably tell the story better because I got caught up in the moment. It made me mad. I'm like, I said something. I didn't cuss. I just said something very snarky. And we're driving and I could feel it from the side. My Angie's sitting
my
there.
My disapproval.
Disapproval. And I turned to her and I said, that wasn't very nice, was it?
No, he said, how bad do you want to correct me right now?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't need to. You are now governed by the Holy Spirit.
And I said, I know. I wasn't very nice. And I'm finding that
there's freedom in confession.
There's freedom in confession, and there's freedom in, I'm sorry, I messed up.
Yeah.
Without letting my pride take hold of me and then turning something that wasn't even that big a deal, but I could have made it a thing by getting mad at her for being mad at me. She wasn't even mad at me. She was just a little disappointed, you know? And you can turn that into something where you can just go, yeah, I just messed up right now, my bad. You know, but our pride and our arrogance just gets in the way,
yeah,
of life. And we can take those things and turn them into, what do you call it, turning the molehill into a mountain or something like that. I don't know what saying is, but, you know, if you are quick to ask for forgiveness, to recognize your wrongs, then you put that in the past like that. It's gone. It's away. We can joke about it now. I mean, I was joking about it 2 seconds after it happened because it was funny. But, you know, be quick to recognize, oh, I messed up. My bad. Get it out of the way. I apologize.
Right. Right. And the thing is, it's like that Christ came for our freedom. He came to set us free. And when we are refusing to confess our sins one to another, which is the invitation, is that we would be brave people. And once you start doing it, it doesn't really even take a whole lot of boldness, a whole lot of courage. There's just not, because you understand that you're bringing your flesh under the governance of Jesus Christ. And why would we want to do it alone? I can't govern my flesh by myself. I need to be ruled by the power of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm admitting guilt, guilty, I'm guilty. I'm not thinking of myself as a worm. Excuse me. I'm actually making room for increase within my spirit man to be able to have more say within my being than my flesh does by admitting like, oh yes, guilty. I did this and I want to be free from it. And so we just need to be a people that are no longer hiding behind our guilt, because guilt and shame are not good masters. We just need to be a people who are willing to just be like, I'm just going to be honest about this. We were not prepared, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. But we have to know. The only way that we are going to know the difference between gifts and anointing is if we actually have people who are honest enough to say, what you're feeding from right now is just a smorgasbord, I don't know how to say that word, of gifting. Like, don't come feeding here right now. I'm thinking that there's going to be a whole lot of anointing.
Our gifts right now have lasted 30 minutes so far almost.
I could go all day. I have a gift of communication. Mm-hmm. You just need to know the difference.
Right.
Okay, let's get to scripture. We're 2 Corinthians 1, and we're going to read 21 and 22. I need to take my pen out of here. It's going to be hard to lay the page down. Okay, and by the way, Virginia's on.
Hey, Virginia. Oh, so is Paula.
Oh, and Paula.
I'm not even going to attempt her last name.
Oh, Paula. But,
yeah, from...
All right. Anyway, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now it is God who strengthens us together with you in Christ and who has anointed us. He has also put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. He put his seal on us and given us his Spirit. I mean, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it when we have been sealed up and given his Spirit, God's Spirit dwelling richly in us? What are we doing with it? Are we driven to come and buy without money? Or are we defaulting to other things that really aren't adding much value to us whatsoever? What do you think?
I think it's sad when we are giving gifts. And I mean, I'm 40. How old am I?
You are 47.
I mean, 47. And I've had a gift for a long time, and I've decided to wait till now to use it, and I've wasted a lot of years. That sucks. You know, I'm going to end well. Don't worry. You know, the last half of my life, I'm going to end well. But, you know, I feel like I missed out because being more about me than about Jesus. Don't waste your gift. Okay. I mean, I'm still going to, God knew what was going on and he's still going to have his way with me, but don't waste your gift.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Don't waste time.
Yes.
Go and get yourself some anointing. Okay. Let's read Isaiah 55, just the first two verses. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water, and you without silver, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Why do you spend silver on what is not food and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. This puts it all into perspective. You are spending on things that will not last and they will not satisfy you. It's what Isaiah is saying. What the Lord is saying through Isaiah is probably the better way to say that. And he's like, come before me, and I will give you what will satisfy, what will take you further, what will stretch you beyond. He's a limitless God, and we have limitless abilities, but we sit in our limitations because of our fear of going beyond what we know. And we've just experienced this whole debacle of traveling. I created a debacle out of something that should have just been a purchase.
Yes.
But I got afraid. I got really fearful in like, what if there's not enough? You know, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wasting
the church's money?
What if we're squandering gift? Mm-hmm. And that's important. And I'm not going to apologize for holding value there.
Oh no.
But there was a fear that was creeping in, and I almost felt paralyzed. Like I could not take that last step. And so a friend on Sunday was like, we're buying tickets before we leave here. And that's what I needed. I needed someone to force the issue, to be like, you're not actually leaning into wisdom here. You're leaning into fear. And do you know that actually fear masquerades as wisdom? We like to label delay wisdom, and it's really fear holding you hostage.
I'm waiting to hear from the Lord.
Yeah. And so I knew I could hear the Lord telling me, like, just do it and the answers will come. But I wanted all my duckies in a row.
We wanted answers before.
I did. I wanted to know, like, this was a big deal. We aren't well-traveled people. And we did this with hardly any information whatsoever. And I love it. God is so faithful. So on Sunday, we purchased our tickets again, for those of you that are joining later, to go to England for an intensive that we're a part of. And then on the backside of that, we get to go to Ireland, which is like a dream come true. And so on the backside of purchasing these flights, one of the plans fell through by evening, and I was freaking out, like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Like, I'm thinking I broke the whole system now. and really felt a whole heap of guilt. And at the same time, this is where we're double-minded. At the same time, I'm experiencing this guilt. And at the same time, I'm hearing the peaceful voice of God saying, the answers will come. And so my sense of responsibility was wanting to be the leading lady. And really, it just needed to be faith that was plowing ahead. And by Monday at noon, we had heard from an aunt of John's who was like, I hear you're going to England. And it was the most beautiful message. And she was like, I'm called to intercession in the season, and I want to be part of what you're doing. And so shout out to Aunt Jackie, who is praying on our behalf. And she wanted the details. Listen, when somebody is asking you about something that's going on in your life, and they're wanting to come alongside as to partner in intercession, and they want the details, they're all in. They're all in. And so the only thing I had access to were the faith details. This is what I know, and this is what I want. And just really felt that call to Ireland. And it was within an hour that I heard from a friend in Ireland, and not only heard from her, but she had our entire trip planned out to Ireland. And we pulled the trigger on another flight last night. And so I'm telling you all of this because I want to put my own like missteps on display so you can avoid them. When you have an invitation to faith and fear, choose faith. and get yourself some people in your life who know the difference in you by what you're being led by.
That is so important. If you don't have people that are cheering you on, you won't accomplish your goals.
Yeah.
If you have people that instead of cheering you on, find jealousy or basically just jealousy. Like, if you're doing this, why can't I do this? You can't. If you surround yourself with people like that, nothing will get accomplished, because you'll make all your decisions in life on, am I going to offend them if I do this? Am I going to offend them if I do that? You can't do that. You have to have people that say, I see what God has for you. Go get it. Go get it. And then they call them with the details. And they're so excited for you. We have people around us right now. We could tell them something we did goofy with one of our kids, and they are all in on the details because they love us that much. Get people like that. And sometimes it hurts to take people and say, look, I love you, but you're not good for me. That's a hard thing, but that's okay. Do it.
Yeah.
Life will get better. I promise.
Yeah. And so back to our talk about gifts and anointing, the invitation is to come by without money, and you will receive something that goes beyond the value of money. Our currency needs to become inheritance. Mm-hmm. The currency that we long for, that we feel we need, needs to be inheritance. The currency of the earth is nothing. It's rubbish compared to what we gain from coming and buying at the feet of Jesus.
Yes. We just had a daughter who, her car broke down. Found out she needed to put a new engine in it and everything, and needed a new car. And she came, she lives in Kansas City, which is 2 hours away from us. And she came back home, and we were going to go shopping, and a car.
We went and fetched her.
Yeah. And her, and a car fell into our laps, and it was a car. And I'm going to throw these figures at her because it's important. It was worth $18,000. And she, when I told her, she's like, how are we going to do this? And we not only got the car for $9,000, we paid cash for it. And we didn't even, at the beginning of the week when this happened, we had nothing to put into this. And
God,
faith, my daughter is now driving a beautiful car that'll last her for years. And we did it all on faith.
Yep.
I didn't know what we were doing when we went to pick her up. I had no plan on how we were getting her a car. Not my problem. Treasury of Heaven took care of it.
Yes. Amen. Okay. Jump with us over to Isaiah 61. Let's read that. And we will begin to land this. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees planted by the Lord to glorify him. The call is to invite the Spirit of the Lord to rest on us, in us, and to ask for the anointing of the good news. That's the invitation. The good news needs anointing to bring about transformation. We're not seeing a whole lot of transformation. What we're seeing is collection and that's unto the gifting, not the anointing. Transformation is the evidence of anointing. We need to be a people who are persistent in pursuing the anointing. How on earth do we get the anointing? The quick examples, and again, you need to go investigate, jump down this rabbit hole and begin to investigate, how do I get anointing? We can look at the life of Jesus, and the climax moment of anointing, and we see this man doing all kinds of amazing things. In fact, he's fulfilling what's happening in the beginning of Isaiah 61. He is there for the brokenhearted. He is freeing prisoners. That's transformation. So there's anointing leaking from his life. But then there is a pouring out that took place as a broken man on a cross. He takes his last breath and he declares, "It is finished." And they go and they don't break his legs, because it's prophesied that not a single bone would be broken. The two thieves' legs are broken, so they could breathe their last. But Jesus beats him to the punchline and he gives up his life before they're capable of doing this. But they pierced his side anyway, and out of his side came rushing blood and water. And it is said that was a moment that new creation life was birthed. It's a beautiful picture, but I also think that it is a picture of the way that anointing comes about. And we're talking about, it's rivers that are supposed to come from our bellies, rivers of life, rivers of anointing. And we are so content with sprinklings of anointing. And if we want to see the things that we read about in the book of Acts, where it is like full on structures are shaking, that level of the Spirit poured out, it's likened to Jesus being a broken man on a cross, and that blood and that water pouring out of his side. It's the broken and spilled out moment. And in those moments that you are feeling crushed by the weight of everything else and you want to escape that moment so bad, instead cry out guilty and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your life and watch what he will do. He's got us on a threshing floor and in a wine press. We're in a critical time as a people where he's looking for those who can house his greater glory. I want in, but I also know that there is a demand for purity on the vessels that carry his greater glory. And so we need to allow the weight of the things that are coming after us to indeed crush us. We are living sacrifices. We die to live. That is the way of new creation life. The other example I want to point to, and this is one of my most favorite stories in the Bible, is the woman with the alabaster box. She goes into a man's domain. These men are meeting together, and the women are just there to serve, making sure that their cups stay full and that they have food to eat. This woman comes in and she has this one precious gift to her name. And it's said that this would have been a whole year's worth of wages in value. Her alabaster box of fragrance, of nard. And she chose to break that alabaster box open and to pour it out on Jesus's feet. Mm-hmm. That is great cost. Anointing comes at a cost. It will crush you, and it should crush you. Without the crushing of the last decade of our lives, I would be the person that I am. Would I want that to ever happen to anybody? Absolutely not. The things that have transpired in our lives were devastating. But I wouldn't change a thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't change a thing because it has formed something in me. That crushing formed something in me.
Yeah, back to the story of the woman with the alabaster box. The people around that saw this missed it.
They missed it.
They thought she was being extremely irresponsible.
Wasteful.
Wasteful, because money was more important than the act of what was happening in that moment. Okay, be careful. What we see as irresponsible, heaven might see as one of the greatest gifts ever given. Her story is 2,000 years old and we're still talking about it. Wasn't irresponsible. She was blessing Jesus. She was doing something that his followers hadn't even done.
Hadn't even considered. Yeah. And not only, I mean, this is such a scandalous moment, because not only is she breaking open this costly vessel and pouring out.
She took her hair.
She takes her hair down.
No.
Listen, taking your hair down alone was bad. That's bad girl stuff. But she's using it. She's using her hair to wipe his feet. This woman put her entire life on the line.
Yeah, it was more than just the irresponsibility of the money. It was the irresponsibility of the gift of her. She gave herself, her whole being right then and there to him. And I mean, they were looking through eyes of the law, through the eyes of being responsible with your money, everything but the gift that was given.
Yeah.
You know, be careful when you judge people for doing things.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you don't know the heart behind it.
This is why we all need to come and buy without money.
Yep.
Because we wrongly judge because we aren't as close to Jesus as we think we are. We need to be able to, in Isaiah 11, there is a breakdown on the characteristic of Jesus, what he would look like. And after it lists the seven spirits of God, it says, he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor by what his ears hear. Mm-hmm. Talking about natural eyes and natural ears. But we do it all the time. He is our example, and he did not. He judged based on the voice of the Father and the leading of the Spirit. But we judge by what our eyes see and by what our ears hear. And that's not the invitation. The invitation is come, buy without money, so that you'll be suitable to bring about transformation. We miss opportunities because we're too busy judging by our natural senses.
Yeah. Something that happened yesterday. I'm probably going to cry about this because it made me cry yesterday. And she doesn't even know this because I walked away when it happened. But my son's going to nationals, which is basketball. And he's raising money for it. And he walked up to my sister. And Robin goes, hey, bud, come here for a second. She pulled out every dollar she had in her wallet. She goes, I don't have a lot. This is what I have. If I had enough, if I had more, I'd pay for all of it for you. And she gave him what she had. And that is such a Jesus thing to do for somebody. It's just like the woman who had the penny. Was it irresponsible for her to give that last penny when she had kids? Or was it a gift that's now talked about forever because she did it? You know? And so don't waste your gifts again. Those little tiny things that you don't think are that big a deal are a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And talk about the crushing.
Yeah.
They're in it. I mean, these are people that are giving the last few dollars that they have, and they're in that crushing. They're under that weight.
And I'll be honest with you, my first response was no, don't do that. And I caught myself. He did shut me up, and he goes, "You're gonna take her gift away." Because she wasn't just giving him a gift. She was receiving as well.
Yes.
You know, and I did. And God had to stop me from saying, whoa, don't do that. I know where you're at financially right now. And I would have stolen from her. We think we're being, you know, compassionate and stuff when we do stuff like that. No, it's our self, this pride that, oh, you're just being irresponsible. You don't know what you're doing. That's bull crap. Don't do that to people. Don't do that. Respect.
Responsible faith doesn't look like the world's idea of responsibility.
Right.
There is wisdom rooted in the world, and then there is wisdom that comes from God. And they will butt heads. They will. Side with Jesus.
Side
with Jesus.
Yes.
I think we've said enough.
We have.
We bless you.
And we're over. Okay, hold on. How do I do this?
We're still trying to navigate the ending of things. But anyway, you'll do the outro one. Yeah. You guys, wait, I have to tell you something. Listen.
Tell me or tell them.
No, them. Okay. This is a commercial break. The conference in July, behold, we have Rebecca King coming in for a third year in a row. And Rebecca is like a mama in this house. We love her. And so she's coming in from Canada. Mark Birchmachen is coming to us from England. And Laura Beth Malloy will be here from Ireland. And so please do not delay. We've got different things in our feed on Facebook. So if you're looking for a link, just look there. You'll find it. If we were really fancy, we would drop it in the comments. But that's not going to happen today. Unless Lisa does it. uneditedlife.com/behold. But get out and register. There is no cost to register. However, we are asking you to prayerfully consider supporting this conference. We have a very strong conviction about not putting a price tag on it, but we also have a strong conviction about partnering together to bring together something of worth.
And we want to host well.
We want to host well.
We're really good at it.
And it costs money to bring people in because there's housing involved and food involved. You are the best. There's food involved, you know, all the things that the travel costs. So we are trying to offset those costs. And anyway, the nations are coming to Kansas, friends. And we are excited about this. This is something that God has been showing us for a couple of years now. And it is finally happening. The nations will converge in Junction City, Kansas. I know. It's wild. So there is your commercial for today. We'll see you again on Sunday morning. We will be live around 10:30. 11. It'll be more like 11. No, it'll be 9.
Nine.
Let me get my time straight. It'll be 9 a.m. on Sunday. We'll see you then.
Central.
Yes.